Hello, friends, and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're glad you've joined us for our final day of our technology lesson in our April magazines. I'm your teacher, Josh, and we've hopefully got your magazine open to page 22 for our final look at the end of absence. And I'm joined in the studio by our same digitally connected panelists from prior days. Simon is here. Hi, Simon.
Hey, Josh. It's great to be back because of this special topic.
And Ellen is here. Hi, Ellen.
Hello. Thanks for having me again.
Well, why don't we look back at the first 2 days of our lesson? Is there a word or a phrase that we have taught or maybe skipped over that we'd like to point out to our audience?
Well, I guess for me, it was the concept that we sort of left off at the end of yesterday's article. The suggestion was from Harris, and he talked about engineering a healthy media diet. I thought that was a really interesting idea.
Me too. When you talk about a diet, you usually think of food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things you consume. But we consume media too, don't we?
Right. We have begun to use that terminology to describe how we use media.
Well, and I think the other thing there is that when you're thinking about going on a diet, often we talk about how much of the different kinds of food you're going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was kind of the idea here, deciding how often you're going to use these different social medias or ways of being connected.
Do you monitor that right now, Simon? How much Facebook time you're spending? How much game time you're spending? I don't know what you do on your smartphone or computer.
I do a lot of different things, but no, I'm more or less addicted, so I don't really monitor it at all.
How many apps do you use, Ellen?
On a daily basis, I probably don't use more than half of the apps I have on my phone.
Mm.
But I do have quite a few apps on my phone.
Is it a habit of yours, though, to start your day on two or three different apps and check in with them throughout the day? Or do you just, when it comes to you, you check in certain areas?
I think when it comes to me, I don't normally wake up and decide I want to read, you know, or look into any number of apps. It's just, you know, if I feel like I want to go on Facebook for a couple minutes in the morning, then I do that.
Wow, I'm totally different. I have got to check in first thing in the morning with my email, with Facebook, with Instagram, with a couple of websites, and then I can start my day.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
very, very strict regimen.
Right.
Like, must check each one in the correct order, or else you feel like you've done something terribly wrong.
Well, nowadays, a lot of apps have alerts.
Mm-hmm.
So they will notify you when you do have a message or you do have an email. So, you know, I will check those things if there are alerts that are telling me that there is something to check. I don't check it if just for the, you know, just for fun.
Got it. Well, what about a phrase from you, Ellen, from these last 2 days?
Well, I actually really like the description of the straddle generation, or this generation that is caught between, you know, understanding the pros or the benefits of life before the internet and now trying to figure out how to live with the internet, but in a healthy way. So,
and not just the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
But all technology in our lives. I mean, the smartphone is such an appendage now. It's just a part of your hand. You couldn't imagine going places without your camera and your email and your phone, obviously, and all the different ways that the smartphone impacts your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's indispensable, we could say. Have you ever tried to go a week without a smartphone?
Yeah, actually, times when you travel can be very stressful because you're forced to disconnect. Like,
mm-hmm.
you maybe lose your 3G or your 4G access, and you're rushing around looking for a Wi-Fi hub. Or in some cases, you're going to the lengths of paying a lot of money to be connected for a couple of days, right at the airport.
At a hotel in Hong Kong over Christmas that provides all its guests with a smartphone.
Wow.
Can you give us the name of that after we're done recording here?
It's pretty smart. And it's 4G and it's unlimited Wi-Fi bandwidth. Or not Wi-Fi, but unlimited bandwidth.
Yeah, I suppose
phone calls.
They just factory reset it, right, as soon as Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
That is a good idea. Although in Hong Kong, it's pretty cheap to get like a SIM card that you can just kind of plug into your phone.
Oh, there you go.
It's a hassle.
Yes.
If you just get to the hotel and they equip you.
That's true.
In your room.
I guess you would have to have a smartphone to plug it into. So.
Well, let's jump into our final day of our lesson. As I mentioned, we're on page 22. And the title of this section is What Are We Giving Up?
What are we giving up? No doubt, Thoreau would not have been a fan of constant connection, quips Jack Andrews, a marketing and technology specialist and one who thinks the tech naysayers worry too much. I think it's just an adjustment in culture that will take some time to work itself out. Constance Dunn, an extension communications instructor, agrees with Harris's premise. The lack of silence and introspection can have serious implications when it comes to the development and display of the self. Who are you? An amalgamation of experiences, ideas, and behaviors that have developed as a result of those experiences. The optimum processing of our experiences comes from introspection, Dunn adds. Being constantly connected means we are constantly interrupting this precious percolation process. The result? An increasingly unreflective society with less art, individuality, and innovation. Those born submerged in technology may not see the danger, but Harris wants to reach out to those who remember that other era. As we embrace technology's gifts, Harris writes, we usually fail to consider what we're giving up.
Thank you, Steve. How does our lesson start today, Ellen?
It says, no doubt Thoreau would not have been a fan of constant connection. Thoreau is referring to Henry David Thoreau, who is an American writer and who is a powerful social critic.
That's right. Famous for a book called Walden and several other stories that often talked about his very lonely times living, or isolated times living in nature in New England.
Yeah, he was. It's interesting, though, because I recently read, this is how I knew about the book. He's very popular in the U.S., obviously.
Yes.
But it's interesting because when he lived at that Walden Pond, it wasn't actually too far from civilization, and he did have regular interaction with people. So I guess the point being, like, even when you cut back your interaction with people a bit, it can have really big effects on your life and your outlook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Jack Andrews is a marketing and technology specialist. He's the one that references Thoreau, and he thinks tech naysayers worry too much. Who are the naysayers, Simon?
Oh, they're people who disapprove of something, or they're saying that something is no good. They're opposed to it.
They're the ones out saying that we're too connected, right? That we're introducing too much technology into our children's lives, and that we're all addicted to technology. And he says they're worrying too much. He thinks it's just an adjustment in culture that will take some time to do what?
To work itself out. Hmm. So it's just going to take time for everybody to get used to the changes that come with all this technology.
Yeah, and that, like anything, too much of it is probably a problem, mm-hmm. right? Everything in moderation, they say, where if you find that balance of staying connected, yet still living in the present and enjoying the people you're around and maybe even spending some time alone. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a hard thing for digital natives to do, Simon?
Well, I think it certainly can be. But at the same time, you see a lot of people who basically are digital natives sort of making that choice on purpose because they are concerned about being overconnected.
We talked yesterday how about TV shows in America that are geared towards youth don't talk about community anymore. Mm-hmm. And I would say digital natives feel even more a part of a community sometimes because of technology. they feel close to literally thousands of people because of social media. I mean, I know girls in America with 2,000 Facebook friends, and they consider them all friends. Can you really be friends with 2,000 people?
It depends if you have social media tools to help you out or not.
How many people can you feel close to, you think?
I think a couple hundred.
Sort couple of hundred?
As many as you might get to your wedding, I would say. Know. Yeah.
When we made our wedding list, my wife said, you need to have spoken to these people once in the past year for them to make the cut. I thought that was a good
barometer. That is good. That is good.
We're guys, right? Sometimes we just go a few years without talking to our best friends.
Mm-hmm. But we still think of them.
Yes. And then when we get back together...
just don't really have anything to say.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like we just saw each other, right?
Yeah.
But that's guys. What does Constance Dunn have to say, Ellen?
Constance Dunn says the lack of silence and introspection can have serious implications when it comes to development of the self.
So now we're back talking about introspection, which was where we started this lesson. And Miss Dunn feels there are serious implications, negative consequences of not living an examined life. Would you agree with that, Simon?
Well, yeah. I mean, she sort of expands on that by asking the question, who are you? And answering it with an amalgamation or a mixing of experiences, ideas, behaviors that have developed as a result of the experiences.
Ellen brought that up yesterday, that idea of has social media changed our definition of ourselves, right? Who are we? Are we the sum of our Facebook feed? Or are we something else?
And it's like when we were talking about traveling with Facebook, right? So if you're the sum of your experiences and you've traveled and you're uploading all the time, your experience is in fact like standing in front of famous things, taking pictures and using your phone rather than sort of enjoying the place you're in or whatever. And so the actual experience you have is a very different one if your focus is on the phone while you're in that place.
That's deep, Simon.
Thanks.
We haven't even talked about selfies yet, but that's certainly a hallmark of the digital native, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of plays into that focus on fame, right? Like people are focused on making themselves look good in different environments and then sharing that with their fans.
And is there anything wrong with that?
I don't necessarily think that there's anything fundamentally wrong with it, but I think it can get a little ridiculous. You know, I've seen YouTube videos where people spend 15, 20 minutes trying to find the best pose for their selfie. That's when it becomes a little ridiculous.
Yeah, and it also, you know, sometimes you'll get onto someone's Facebook profile and you're sort of stumbling through pictures or whatever, and you see that 90% of their pictures are selfies.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you wonder about, like, what kind of life experiences this person is really having if all of their pictures are of themselves, you know.
Well, what would you like to see? Buildings and cats?
I like the noodles, you know. Like...
I mean, I think I post a lot of pictures of my kids, and in most of them, they're smiling. And I do feel like, yeah, it does look from Facebook that I have the happiest kids ever. And there's plenty of times where they're not happy. Should I put those on Facebook too? To give you an accurate reflection of my children?
Well, I think that plays into that question of like sharing too much on Facebook, right? You don't necessarily want to share like a minute by minute rundown of what's going on in your life. But the idea of just posting selfies says something about like what a person is focusing on in their life,
right?
Like if they're just posting selfies, it means they're spending a great deal of time focused on like how they look and themselves rather than other things that are going on around them.
That's true. But they've got fans. They have followers. If you don't want to see it, you can unfollow them.
I think I'm going to have to do that right after the show today.
Well, we're going into our lesson. Dunn adds that being constantly connected means we are constantly interrupting the precious percolation process. When I hear that word, Ellen, I think of coffee.
Right. Coffee, brewing coffee takes a time and a process. There is instant coffee, but usually, I'm assuming the instant coffee doesn't taste quite as good as, you know, the coffee that's brewed over time. And percolation is just this idea of a process of going from one step to another, but having it go slowly so that it can brew, so to speak.
And so we have that going on inside our brain, Simon?
Yeah, I guess, we're basically, I'm trying to avoid using the word cooking, but like, preparing ourselves for our future experiences by processing our past experiences. And so I think that is true. Like, if you constantly are interrupting that process, it's probably not going to be a good thing.
She says we're becoming an increasingly unreflective society. I think that's sort of the crux of our article here, right? That we are, because we're so connected and so worried about how we look in our Facebook photos, not taking time to think about our lives, to process our experiences, to plan for our futures. And she says, with that has come less art, individuality, and innovation.
Now that is an interesting conclusion. Like, I can understand this idea of being less reflective, but I also think that a lot of things like Instagram are making art basically much more accessible for a lot of people. Like, people are able to express themselves to other people through things like pictures or different arts and crafts they're doing that then they post on their social media stuff in ways they've never been able to do before. And so I think it's kind of, it encourages people to find people who are sharing similar interests and stuff. And I think that can lead to more innovation and, you know, things like that.
And I'd argue that selfie-obsessed friend of yours is very in touch with her individuality and, you know, her fashion and her style and her sense of, you know, framing herself with whatever backdrop she's decided.
There's a lot of innovation in terms of camera angles,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. And the selfie stick.
That's right.
We haven't mentioned that yet. So those born submerged in technology, we read, may not see this danger. So if you're so submerged, I like that phrase. It's almost like we're in a submarine under the tech social media waters.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know that we're missing out on this reflective nature of humanity.
Mm-hmm. I guess it leads that reflective part to connect us to what we were talking about when we talked about intangibles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something that you can't feel. You can't touch it. It's not a physical thing. And so if it disappears, you maybe don't notice it as quickly as you would have if some actual thing goes missing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our author, Harris, says those people are hopeless, I guess, right? He wants to reach out to those who remember that other era. That if you don't have any point of reference pre-social media, pre-internet, he can't reach you, I guess. He says, as we embrace technology's gifts, we usually fail to consider what we're giving up.
Mm.
Do you agree with that, Simon?
Yeah, I do think that is true. I remember my own smartphone adopting experience. Before that, I carried a bag with me most places I went, and I had certain things like a day planner in the bag and various other things, and it gradually grew heavier and heavier and heavier.
Lots of maps.
Yes, right. I ended up having basically back pain from carrying this bag. And I got a smartphone, and of course, it replaces everything in the bag. And I remember after sort of a week with the smartphone, realizing that it replaced everything, and basically leaving the bag at home when I went out for the first time.
Free!
And it was a wonderfully freeing experience, and so I rushed right into it, not really thinking about or worrying about what I might be losing.
Do you keep a day planner, Ellen?
I have never kept a physical day planner, only on my phone.
Oh, okay. So your life is scheduled on the calendar there, on the calendar feature on your phone?
Yeah.
My wife still keeps the day planner. She has for years. But she doesn't spend any time looking back at it. I'm always confused. I mean, it does remind her things during the day, but It doesn't serve any purpose in terms of introspection.
For me, it was an old teacher's habit, because in the West, day planners are considered very important in tracking student progress and teaching progress and things like that. And they're actually often considered like a legal document. So you have to fill it out and it has to be detailed. And that's just force of habit for me. But switching it over to the phone calendar was definitely a good move. Because you don't have to carry it anymore, right?
Do you go back and look at previous entries?
Yeah, if questions come up about stuff or, you know, how students have done, you look back and you're like, oh, 3 weeks ago, homework wasn't done, 4 weeks ago. So, you know, when you're meeting with parents or you're doing report cards, stuff like that, yeah, you would go over the semester and see what's happening.
Got it. Well, why don't we move along to our last column of our lesson?
Harris's suggestions on how to absent oneself. Give yourself permission to go without being online some weekend. Yes, you'll feel anxious at loose ends, but then what? Ask yourself what might come from all those silences you've been filling up. What if you told your 5-year-old the internet was closed for Christmas? What if you told yourself that? Experiment. Live a little. And remember that fear of absence is the surest sign that absence is needed. Read books, magazines, and actual newspapers. Daydream. Make things up. Travel in your mind. Take walks. Meditate. Don't expect an epiphany. Instead, realize that the break itself is the thing that snaps us out of the spell. That can convince us it was a spell in the first place.
So this is Harris's checklist, a suggestion to how to absent oneself. I'm not sure I'd ever heard that turned into a verb before.
Yeah, absent oneself. I suppose he's saying here how to unplug yourself. That's what we called it before, right? Disconnect yourself or put yourself maybe on a social media diet.
What's his first suggestion, Ellen?
He says to give yourself permission to go without being online some weekends.
So you feel like you almost have to be online, he's saying. So actually give yourself permission. Make it okay to not have to open up your browser and check in on your favorite websites.
Right.
Yes, you'll feel anxious, he says. You might feel like you're missing out on that sports score or what's happening in your social circles, but you'll survive. What's the next one?
Well, the next one is to ask yourself what might come from all of those silences you've been filling up.
And what might come from them?
Try to avoid silences, so I don't really know.
Inspiration, perhaps?
Yeah, you might get all kinds of things, I suppose, if you had time to spend with yourself, thinking about what was going on, maybe deeper understandings of why you're doing the things you're doing or where you're going in life.
Maybe total fear and anxiety. Could that happen?
Yeah, I think that definitely could happen, too.
Well, this next one seems very cruel, but he suggests telling your 5-year-old, so your child, that the internet was closed for Christmas. This seems torturous.
Cruel.
Seems a little rough, especially if you're...
But he says maybe you could tell yourself that for at least one day out of the year, you're going to stay off the internet. The next one is to experiment. Live a little, he says. Have you heard that phrase before, Ellen?
I have. It's just kind of an encouragement to go out and experience different things.
Yeah, try new things.
Well, and this is interesting because in this suggestion, Harris actually addresses that issue of being afraid of being disconnected. Mm-hmm. And so he goes on, in addition to encouraging people to experiment and live a little, he adds, remember that fear of absence is the surest sign that absence is needed. Mm-hmm. And so if you are afraid of being disconnected and you're uncomfortable, he's saying that rather than going back to your phone, you should accept that this is a sign that you need more time being disconnected.
Good advice. His next one, to read books, magazines, and, a little sarcastically, actual newspapers. Many of us are reading those things on our phones now and not subscribing to the physical product. What's the next one, Ellen?
It says daydream. Make things up. Travel in your mind. So take walks or meditate.
Good ideas. Ways to unplug and maybe just experience something in your mind. And the last one, don't expect an epiphany. This article started with an epiphany, right, Simon?
That's right. An insight or a special, deeper understanding. I guess you could say a revelation. It's interesting, though, that he's saying not to expect an epiphany, because often when we make life changes, we are really hoping for something very exciting or dramatic to happen. And here he's saying that might not happen. Instead, he says we should realize that the break itself, the time unplugged, is the thing that snaps us out of the spell, or taking time off is the thing that breaks our addiction to the technology.
And he says that can convince us it was a spell in the first place.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Well, you'll get that when you're eating dinner with people who are using their phones, right? If you say, wow, you're using your phone a lot, they'll say, not that much. Right? Because we don't realize we're using our phones and we're as addicted or connected as we are.
Well, think about your media consumption this week. Maybe put yourself on a media diet. But definitely don't take a break from Studio Classroom. Come back and join us next time here in the advanced class. Until then, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.